You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the Premier League a little bit, the Merseyside Derby a little bit, Tottenham, the collapse of Tottenham as per usual. So a lot going on in Europe, and we're talking about the Houston Dynamo and their new logo.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Shep Messing, and he reveals a lot, like he may have accidentally thrown someone out of a window, why he posed without any clothes on, and what exactly is missing from soccer today. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, I'm Michelle Akers, and guess what I did today? I hung out with the Cooligans!
Yeah, baby!
Yes. Let's do this. It's just like, whoa. At that point, it's not, it's just a, what's that machine called that you put your hand over and it makes a noise? It's like a musical instrument.
You thought I would know this. When you started that, you thought I would know the answer to this question?
It's like, has an antenna and it makes like the woo. Whatever. It starts with a T, I think. I don't remember the name of it. I'll figure it out.
Is that the thing that the old Chinese dudes are playing on the subway?
No. It's something else. It's like electronic. Anyway, hello, okay. Everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed. Okay?
It's also the gulliest.
Let's go. That's right. Oh, a theremin. That is the thank you. Our producer JB just chimed in. It is called a theremin.
That sounds like a pill you take to help you with your back pain.
Okay. It sounds like aliens, like the alien noise, like on old TV shows and stuff.
Where did you see this?
It's there was a time in my life where I wanted to be a musician, a very unorthodox musician, and I was looking into it. Anyway,
I believe that 100%. He's like, oh, it's an instrument, but it's also a computer. You know? It's a very Christian thing.
I had, I played harmonica in high school, guitar, drums.
Okay. How did you and I end up friends?
Hello. All right. So a lot to discuss today. We're excited about today's show because we're going to be joined by the legendary Shep Messing, obviously a New York Cosmos legend, currently an announcer for the New York Red Bulls, and famous for salacious photos in the 70s. You love to see it, okay?
He got paid for thirst traps.
He invented it, I think. So let's start today off talking about the Premier League, especially last week, because last weekend was pretty nuts. We didn't have any time to talk about it on our last episode, but we want to dedicate some time today because it was pretty nuts. Let's start with the Merseyside Derby. Everton.
Should we start Tottenham? Because you know me.
No.
I know Arsenal lost, but for some reason, I was gleeful this weekend.
This is, this is the appetizer, but for Alexis, the main course, we'll be talking about Tottenham in a moment. Everton against Liverpool, a game that would, kind of determine where Everton really are in their league, right? In the Premier League, and do they really belong in first place? And after this match, even as an Everton supporter, I would probably say they probably do not deserve to be in first place at the moment, but it is what it is.
I mean, look, you did the league a service. You got rid of the greatest defender in the league. Thank you, Jordan Pickford's crotch.
No, so ridiculous. So let's start there, right? Obviously, Liverpool gave up. They scored an early goal. Sadio Mane was incredible this game.
Sadio Mane has been incredible for like a 3 or 4 year stretch. The only problem with Sadio Mane is that he plays with Mohamed Salah. It really is. The only thing stopping Sadio Mane from being one of the highest paid soccer players in the world.
Yeah, he would be scoring probably a little bit more, but this is what makes Liverpool Liverpool, right? And yes, let's talk about the injury to Virgil van Dijk after Jordan Pickford is going to stop a ball. Doesn't even really you know, he clearly he's not really focused on the ball. He's just kind of just like trying to get in front of the player, but does just a poor tackle that
it's like a scissor tackle, you know? It's a shame. Yeah. And I think Virgil van Dijk had surgery. I just realized Virgil van Dijk got injured by Virgil van Dijk. Sorry.
What?
I just wanted to say Van Dyke. I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
You guys talk about some nerd instrument.
Is it a joke? Do all the jokes make sense on this show? No, they do not.
No. That's not what you come here for.
But Alexis, he said the thing that he wanted to say on television, and you know what? It's made his week. He feels great.
I'm
going to
be texting Christian for hours after this. Say, I can't believe I actually said that.
You remember when I said Virgil van Dijk completely out of context and made really no real sense?
Yo, that was great, wasn't it? Yeah. That was fire, right? We should cut that clip for social.
Anyway, look, a lot of people have been upset with Jordan Pickford. I think it was a poor attempt at blocking a shot. It wasn't really that. He was like trying to stop the player from making a move to get the ball.
He went in too hot. Because that is a typical goalkeeper sort of spread out, try to block all angles, try to make yourself as big as possible.
But he went towards the player as he did that, and definitely right. Virgil van Dijk hyperextends his knee a little bit. You can see. I don't know how serious the injury is, but he did have ligament damage, and
supposedly he's out for a significant amount of the season, whole season.
Yeah, the initial thing I heard was like 7-8 months. I don't know if it's going to be that long. We haven't heard. We're taping this on the 19th, so we don't know exactly the status, so that might have already been updated, but right. I don't think Jordan Pickford, there was any in it. Was it reckless? Yes. I think if it ended up
being reckless, it may not be the intention might not have been to hurt.
If Jordan Pickford is not, if he was a field player and does this challenge, I think people are more upset. It's more vicious. As a goalkeeper, you have a certain sense of like, oh, well, he's trying to stop. He's throwing his body. He's doing the goalkeepers tend to be a little bit more reckless, which is the nature of their job.
Right.
So I think that's why you can give him the benefit of the doubt that he wasn't trying to hurt anybody.
Right.
But the one that upset me even more was the Richarlison tackle, the red card he sent off, the tackle on Thiago was it felt like Everton was not trying to, they were in a point of panic or something, or like they were so afraid to lose that they were playing just so recklessly. And it look, it ended up 2-2. The controversy, obviously the offside call on Sadio Mane, before the goal for Jordan Henderson, which I don't even look. I'm an Everton supporter. I do not understand how that's offside. That is, it is.
VAR doesn't know how it's offside. VAR is like, I'm not telling you to do this.
I have no idea what they were looking at.
What body part is it that they draw the lines with? Here's the thing. I love.
Is it a clear? Is it a clear and obvious error? And you would always say no. It's unbelievable.
But they did say we're gonna go with what the machine says. If the machine spits out, this is bad, then you got it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
only so much you could do. Like, you can't imagine they would have said, well, technically the line is here, but now we're going to say it's not. Then Everton fans would be like, whoa, wait a minute. We said we were going to go with them. So you kind of have to do it. But I think everyone on board is like, hey, dude, I love mayhem. You know me. I love bedlam. This is too much. This is too far.
Pixel. It's a couple pixels. And we've said this before because this happened on a goal that was, I think, taken away by Raheem Sterling a couple months ago.
Right.
The cameras cannot capture they don't capture every single moment in time, every frame. Like, it's literally, there's a gap between moments.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this really is. It's just like, there's no way you would take that goal away. There's just it makes absolutely no sense.
Well, folks, you've heard an Everton fan complaining about taking a goal away from their biggest rival.
I love being in first. Feels good. This is,
but part you want of it the right way.
This is part of every season. But I thought it was a ridiculous way that the fact that goal was taken away. That's not clear and obvious enough to me. I think Everton still played well and held their own outside of giving up an early goal. I thought they played pretty well for the most part. The other, I'm real quick, Tottenham giving up, up 3-0, and then boom.
The Lanzini golazo. Lanzini is a gooner, baby. There's nothing I love more than talking about Tottenham, even though this isn't a loss. Oh, buddy, it feels like it, you know?
Oh, boy.
If you're Amazon, you picked the wrong year. You got in a little early. This year would have been ratings gold.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, we were just mentioning 3-0 up for – and what they scored the first those three goals in the first –
the first 15, 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes.
Unbelievably dominant. They looked incredible.
West Ham is like, got him right where we want them.
Going into this, going into that second half, I'm like, oh, but it's probably going to get a little bit worse. Maybe they'll pull one back. Who knows? And then, yeah, in about the 80th minute, West Ham does get one. I'm like, there's clearly not enough time.
It's what are they called? Constellation goal. All right. Yeah. No clean sheet for Tottenham.
Oh, you know, bummer. You know, maybe this would have galvanized the team, having that strong performance. But at least they'll leave with 3 points.
Right.
And then you hate to see the Colombian, Davison Sanchez, giving up an own goal after heading the ball into his own net. Just a, you know, who knows? You know, it was just really bad. It looked like it was intentional.
It was, yeah. I mean, honestly, great header, you know? And let me tell you this, most people watching that match would be like, oh, that's unfortunate, but Tottenham has been the best team all game. It's fine. Arsenal fans and Tottenham fans in particular were like, oh no,
no.
It has happened yet again.
Well, even after when they give the second goal, there was a little bit of a feeling like, oh, this is going to happen.
Did you feel that way? Because as an Arsenal fan who loves watching Tottenham collapse, I was just like, babe, make popcorn. It's going to happen.
No, after the first goal, I did not think it was going to happen. After the second goal, I knew it was going to happen.
Okay, good. Then, all right. So your friendship with me has given you the opportunity to sense what Tottenham is going to spurs it up.
It went from just I knew it was going to happen to absolute 100% certainty when Gareth Bale did the great move, cut inside, gets in, has 1v1 with the keeper. All he has to do is pass it into the net.
By the way, the most Gareth Bale opportunity of all Gareth Bale opportunities, and yet the bird on a ball over his heart says, wait, we have rules here on this club.
Oh, I know you used to play here, but you must be new here. Okay?
Yeah, no. This is so very not a Real type of space, okay? No.
And great chance, and hits it wide. I don't know how he misses that chance. Also,
the ghost of his Tottenham ancestors guided it away and said, no, our fans are not allowed to celebrate.
And then the shot from Lanzini. I mean, what if we look back a little bit of how all that happened, it was a kind of a dumb foul to cause the free kick. Harry Winks, why doesn't he clear it? Why does he tries
beautiful
to
beautiful pass to Lanzini.
he tries to control it, or it was a 50-50 ball. I forgot who was going for the ball.
It's his first touch. He thinks is going to guide it slightly away from where the player's momentum is taking him, and he'll have this open space to run and take it off. And then apparently the ball just, you know, Giassi Zardes is off his foot. and Lanzini was like, well, all right, here we go.
Don't bring Jazzy into this because, again, he's playing spectacularly.
He is, but, I mean, if we're going to claim that foul of touch.
I get the jokes, but, Jazzy also just dominated NYCFC as well. So, anyway. Yeah.
I got to get my shots in when I can here.
Always. This show is built to take down Jazzy's artist, even though he's playing well.
Imagine he played for Tottenham. I mean, this show would be 24-7 talking about him, you know?
The shot from Lanzini was absolutely spectacular. Put your laces through it.
999,999 times that shot is taken. It is in the stands alone, bouncing off of those tarps that are covering the seats. It's against Tottenham.
Are you talking about Tottenham fans? What are you talking about?
Hilarious.
It's a joke, everybody. It's a joke.
Relax. So because this is against Tottenham, that ball goes top corner.
Yo, that, I mean, beautiful. There was something, it was almost better that it didn't just cleanly go in. It
it careened off the bottom of the,
Lloris got a finger tip on it. He did.
I didn't see that. Oh, that makes it so much better.
He got a fingertip. To be honest, it felt like the ball was not going to go in, or it might have hit the post. It might have hit the crossbar. And there's something about Lloris stopping it a little bit that
changed the spin, maybe.
And it hit the bottom of the crossbar and then hit the post and then went in. It was incredible.
Oh, God. I feel like I'm watching it all over again. Wash over me, Tottenham. Wash over me.
Oh, my goodness. We should talk about the Houston Dynamo.
That's right.
The Athletic Soccer. The Athletic had posted the story. They got insider info.
Okay.
About their new logo.
Because, Athletic is everywhere. They're like, I heard this barber told this guy who knows this dude who's an electrician at this person's house. Like, they're all in.
And Pablo fixed that guy's car.
That's why the transmission was free. Just give me the photo of the new. But, like, if you look at it, right, Houston Dynamo's logo is a little, the current one, the official logo, it's a little dated, right? It feels a little bit like, I don't know, like, I guess MLS 2.0, we'll say, right?
Sure.
So James Harden is an owner now, right? Things are different. So they got to get a new look, right? And so you saw the logo, right? It's like a D and an H. And I've said this on the show. All you have to do is put the first letter of the city you're in's name and people will wear that hat. That's it. That's what you have to do. It's very simple, right? They went with the H and the D sort of interlocking, and it looks like, almost like highway lines or something like map streets.
Yeah. It looks similar to the Notre Dame logo.
Yeah, but it's not like full block lettering. It's just like the outline, the shaded outline of the lettering. But I don't love it, right? But I'm very harsh when it comes to logos. You could care less, right? If it was just an old soccer ball, with Houston written over it, you'd be like, good enough for me. Get it on a shirt.
The old timey, just leather bound balls.
With the stitching.
Fine with it. Who cares? I want to see I want to see golazos. I could care less about what little cartoons they have on their shirts.
And that to me is the most important part. Let's say your art department is almost more important than the 11 on the field. But they also have a little lightning bolt on the bottom now, which is kind of cool, right? They didn't have that before. It's also now called Houston Dynamo FC, which I know it always has, but it just feels less like the Houston Dynamo. Now it's Houston Dynamo Football Club.
Well, the FC is new. It was just Houston Dynamo as well. Similar to like Portland Timbers. Portland Timbers are not Portland Timbers Football Club. They are they're Portland Timbers, and there's no,
are
not
you
every
sure
team.
About that?
I'm 100% sure. And also, and their Twitter account, Twitter account says Timbers FC, but it's only for their Twitter account. Their actual official name is just Portland Timbers.
I believe you are right. Okay. Well,
okay.
That's a first for this show, folks. So we got more when we get back right after this with Jeff Messing. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Ooh, a new sponsor, Vuori Clothing.
That's right, a new perspective on performance apparel, and it is absolutely perfect if you are sick and tired of traditional old workout gear.
Well, I need to go get workout gear in the past to get sick and tired of, but I will tell you this.
Is this product the time machine?
Oh, no. Should I have found myself disgusted or tired of other workout gear? But it's funny. I got myself two pants. Because I just love lounging around in my underwear in my home, and I'm the only one. And the neighbors are even like, we need to get you more curtains, bro. But I love it. So D was like, come on, it's starting to get cold. Please start wearing pants. And I got these two. I got two performance joggers. And let me tell you something. These things are so comfortable, and you can go outside in them. So it's like, if I got to throw out trash, now I don't have to go find pants. I got them right here. If I got to go get a sandwich, I'm already wearing the pants.
Because you usually throw out the trash with no pants, and it's becoming a problem in your neighborhood.
I did it once, and turns out, even at 2 in the morning, people are walking by.
So, I got the performance shorts, which are great. They have a lining on the inside as well. I feel like
the OG Jordan, right?
Yeah, I feel like an NFL about cornerback and training. You know what I mean?
You so know?
It's dope. But I honestly...
Catching passes from Nutmeg?
My favorite thing is the shirt. I got like a performance crew. And it's like, I think that's kind of the main thing is that it's workout clothing that you can do absolutely anything with. You can hike. You can do yoga. You can play soccer. You can literally do anything. You can just lounge around like Alexis.
Right.
So there's a lot of options. Okay. It's incredibly versatile.
In fact, the one you got, it says here that it's one short for every sport, right? Which includes, I guess, sitting on the couch and playing FIFA, which, right? Hey, look, athletes play video games. Hey, I don't know what you're talking about.
You're an e-gamer, okay? You're not just laying there, okay?
I got to start gaming so I can claim that. But these, I'm not kidding. Like, I got, they're kind of like almost like sweatpants, really, the other ones that I have here. They're a little bit of a thicker material, and these just came in perfect now that the weather's starting to get a little bit chilly, especially in this house where I don't control the heat in my apartment.
Exactly.
So this is absolutely perfect. So you can lounge, you can do whatever. You can either play sports or you can eat food in them.
And look, Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at VuoriClothing.com/Gully.
That's V-U-O-R-I clothing.com/Gully. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but hey, how about you enjoy some free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns? I don't even think they offer that. I think that's just us giving you free returns. That may or may not be true.
That's the Cooligans hookup.
Okay. We got you, yo. So just go to VioriClothing.com/Gully and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. All right, baby, we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and I'm excited because our guest is here. And this is, I mean, for me and for us, it's one of the voices of soccer. But for many people, this dude was in goal during what a lot of people consider the golden era of soccer in the U.S.
Legend, without a doubt.
Right? And maybe some of our fans are like, I think I've seen a lot of this dude. I didn't even know he played soccer, but I know. Funny, because what I saw of him made me sweat, you know? this guy, absolute legend. You probably already know who we're talking about. One of my favorite personalities in all of soccer. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, in fact, pull over and put your hands together for the one, the only, Shep Messing.
Shep, what is good?
Thank you, my guys. And I got to tell you, I'm fans of both of you and your show. I don't do this. I really don't do it. And you know, when you tried to book me, I said, no, man, I'm out fishing.
Trust me. No, we are absolutely grateful for your time. You know, if people are not aware of your career, of what you're currently doing, you're obviously on MSG, Red Bulls announcer, you know, the color commentator, along with Steve Cangelosi. One of my, honestly, you know, look, obviously, full disclosure, we obviously do a show for NYCFC, mm-hmm. but you two are one of my favorite pair of announcers in MLS. You guys are incredibly entertaining. So let's start there. You have an incredible broadcasting career. You've worked in some different companies, different broadcasters, all this stuff. What is the sort of feeling of going from playing to being, you know, being a stellar player and then also trying to be the best broadcaster and best announcer you could be?
Guys, so let me tell you, I'll answer that question and then we'll get down and dirty.
Yeah.
Answer that question. It's advice I give young players, young adults, men and women, whatever they do in life. And the advice is, do it the best you can. If you're sweeping the floor at Walmart, run up and down. Do it the best you can. So a transition from being a player, an athlete, a pro into the broadcast booth, it's the same mantra. If you're going to do it right and work at it, right? You can't just take an old jock. You guys know, you're broadcasters, you're entertainers. You can't just throw them in the booth. And that's what happens, whether it's Fox or ESPN or Madison Square Garden or yes, these guys just get thrown into the booth with very little instruction, very little coaching. So you got to take it upon yourself to learn your trade. You guys know it's a trade. So you study, you work at it. You want to look, whatever you do. And I tell my kids the same thing. be the best you can be. That's really all that anybody can ask. So I was lucky. Look, I had an unbelievable playing career. And it was a playing career that I always thought was going to end the next year. You know, this was soccer 40, 50 years ago, dudes, right?
Yeah.
They said dudes back then. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I went to Harvard, and my mother said, "You're doing what? You're playing soccer? You know, Harvard, and you're playing soccer for $75 on the weekend for some team I never heard of?" So I took it one year at a time, right? Got out of college, was an All-American, played for the U.S. at the Olympic Games. That's another whole story.
Yeah.
Came back and I was in law school and I found out I was drafted by a team I never heard of, the Cosmos, right? And I went to my father, who was a lawyer, and I said, "Dad, I really want to drop out of law school and play soccer. What do you think?" And he said, "The last thing the world needs is another lawyer."
Oh, I thought he'd be like, "Objection."
So the point is, my career just happened and I loved every minute. I'm playing for $100 and then I pick up the paper and I read Pelé signed to play on my. I said, "What? Am I hallucinating?
Yeah.
It was the 70s. Was I on drugs? This can't be."
And the
true.
Answer is yes, you were.
Right. Yeah. But is the guy in the newspaper on drugs? Is this real or not? You know? Also, so I love your advice of like, no matter what you do, be the best. Is that what you told the photographer during your Playgirl photoshoot?
So it wasn't Playgirl, right? This was I did some research that I probably should not have done. And it was Viva magazine.
Thank you for getting it right. Thank you.
No problem.
So again,
Viva. Shocked it doesn't. It's not still in the newsstands.
I'll give you a funny story about that one, right? So again, I'm playing soccer. It's really part-time. It's before Pelé, right? So
yeah.
We're making $2,000 for the season. I'm working at the airport at KLM. I'm playing in the German-American League. And I'm teaching at a high school out here, Westbury High School, right? The magazine comes out. I must have been 23 years old, the high school girls, you know, 16, 17. The magazine comes out. All the girls in the high school go running out, buy the magazine. And the principal calls me in and fires me, right? He said, "What did you do?" I said, "I'm just trying to get exposure for the team." Because really, we had no fans. It's not a highlight of my career.
Yeah. I mean, I think you might have misunderstood the word exposure, you know? When marketing people talk about exposure, I think they mean to a lot of people, not just a lot of you.
Listen, I told you, I was making $2,000 playing soccer. They paid me 10 grand to do the magazine, so.
Hey. Oh, buddy.
You do what
I'd be spreading cheek in front of a photographer in a minute.
Well, this is interesting because we did recently. We did the for South Bronx United. Yep. United, we did the FIFA tournament that we were calling the games and stuff, and we got to talk a little bit about this. But this was actually a really difficult time in your life, right? Because after you did this, you were really punished by the team. You were sent off. You broke some morality clause, right? For being the centerfold in this magazine.
So again, it's a lesson for all people in life, right? How do you deal with adversity? How do you deal with prosperity? Sometimes when you're prosperous, you know, it goes to your head, and sometimes you quit when things get tough. So yes, the team called me in. They said I violated a morals clause. They cut me, put me on waivers. I sued them, you know, because my father was a lawyer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And I ended up winning the lawsuit that there was no morals clause. And I still have the letter framed on a wall from the president of the Cosmos, because he said, "It's the most amicable lawsuit I've ever had. And if I ever sign Pelé, I'll make sure his father is not a lawyer." Well, 2 years later, he signs Pelé. In the meantime, I hitchhike around. I try and get tryouts. I get signed by college coach that I played against. He was coaching in Boston. He signed me to a contract. I led the league in goalkeeping. At that time, there were penalty kicks for every game, no draws. So my first game is at Yankee Stadium against the team that just signed Pelé, right?
Yeah.
I grew up two blocks from Yankee Stadium. I have a great game. I stop Pelé all night. We go to penalty kicks. He takes the last one. I save it, and my team wins the game. The next week, the Cosmos goalkeeper, Bob Rigby, breaks his collarbone, and Pelé says, I want that guy in Boston. I want the Boston goalkeeper. So I got traded back to the Cosmos, and my career kept going.
Wow.
This, I mean, after, after a lawsuit, after getting kicked off the team, pretty. I mean, Pelé was the LeBron building a team before LeBron.
I mean, it's Pelé. If he was like, get me a new stadium, he would have gotten it.
Shep, we have a bunch of questions from fans, and I want to get to a couple of them. So we had a question from Sean Forsyth. He had asked, he said, from Gully Squad, our supporters group, he said, as someone who has been part of the modern soccer in the U.S. from pretty much the beginning, what are your favorite ways that the game has grown, both the national team levels and at the club levels?
Yeah, great question. And look, for me, I'll go back to Red Bull Arena. I'll start there because when they built Red Bull Arena, the owners of Red Bull brought in all the old Cosmos. Pelé came in, Franz Beckenbauer, Carlos Alberto, sort of a passing, right? A passing of the torch from the old to the new. And I'll never forget sitting at Red Bull Arena. The opening game was a friendly between Red Bull and Santos. And I'm sitting up there in the stands with Pelé on one side and Franz Beckenbauer and Carlos Alberto. And Franz just shook his head and he said, I just never in my life thought you'd have a stadium like that here. Remember, we played at Old Giant Stadium, which was awesome. 77,000 people watching us.
Yeah.
And Pelé said the same thing. He just looked down at the field and said, boy, I'm glad I came to this country. I think I helped start this, and I'm thrilled to see how it is now. So, look, day and night compared to what I call the pioneers of the sport, and you could keep going back. Everybody has selective memory. It didn't start with Major League Soccer 25 years ago. They were the greatest players in the world that came here.
No, soccer started when Atlanta United got into the league.
Yeah. You got that right. We were all excited about that. Yeah. How are they doing now?
Yeah. And, although it must have reminded you of the old days, huh? 70,000 people at a football stadium, right?
Listen, and let me talk about the national team, right? Yeah. National team right now, look. A catastrophic disaster, not to make the World Cup. But back in my day, true story, I'd get a call the night before and say, hey, we're playing Italy in Hartford. can you go to the game?
Really, where am I going to sit? No, you're going to be in goal. No, yeah.
Can I get a plus one? Well, no, only one person allowed in goal. You want me to be the goalkeeper?
Let me tell you about the night before. True story. So we got $25, right? Gas money and meal money. So we all head up to Hartford the night before the game. Charlie McCulley, Henry McCulley, you know, the whole group of guys. But we didn't have enough money for food, so we drank beer the whole night.
I'll be honest, I don't know who any of those people are. I'm sorry.
I don't think they were citizens. We just got, yeah. You know, a bunch of guys.
They're people who answered the phone. That's who they are. They had the phone book back then, like, all right, that McCulley's not working. Let's call the next McCulley.
We drank so much beer the night before that we get on the field against Italy. They play the national anthem, and half the guys are throwing up because it was like 100 degrees during the day. Hey, look, the national team now, night and day from how it used to be. I mean, do we still – look, we didn't have Pulisic. We didn't have Weston McKennie. We didn't have – look at Caden Clark coming on the scene now.
Yeah,
I mean, this generation of players, the last generation – look, we had an elegant class when it was Landon Donovan and DeMarcus Beasley and Marcelo Balboa – Brian McBride, but it's getting better and better. So, look, we got a long way to go, but for the guys who played before, we're in a real good spot now.
I said we have a question from Felix Palau, who is an NYCFC fan, but he said, being that you're from the Boogie Down Bronx, you're from the Bronx, how did it feel to play in a city that really didn't care about soccer during your days? And also now, what do you think about there possibly maybe one day being a stadium a couple of blocks from where you grew up? Could you imagine that? A specific stadium in your actual neighborhood?
Yeah, good question. And look, let me just again point to one year, 1977. That was Pelé's final year We played the year before at Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, until they built Giant Stadium. But that year, we were the hottest team in town, bigger than the New York Giants, bigger than the Jets. One of the highlights of my life, it was a baseball player named Reggie Jackson, Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
but after our game at Giant Stadium, Pelé, Franz, we'd get in a limousine, we'd go to New York City, and Reggie Jackson, he's outside a restaurant in his purple Rolls Royce. They wouldn't let him in, but they let us in. They took us in. So I went like this. Bye, Reggie. Yeah. See ya.
Yeah, it ain't October, Mr. October. He can't come in today.
Listen, yeah. NYCFC.
You told Reggie you're the straw that stirs the drink, right?
Yeah.
I pointed to Pelé. I said, he's the straw. I said, I'm just with him.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm barely ice in this drink.
I'm tagging along, but. Look, in the Bronx, Yankee Stadium, they'll build a stadium for NYCFC, and I think it'll be dynamite.
Okay, yeah, and simply the fact, well, what have your experiences been like for the Hudson River Derby? You call several of these matches. Being NYCFC fans, it has been a. Those first couple of years were just like, hopefully we can beat them once, that'd be lovely. But now things seems to be evening out a little bit. What do you think? What do you make of the Derby and it's coming up in a couple of weeks? How do you feel about it now?
Look, you guys know Derbies can't be manufactured. They have to be real. And they get real if some stuff happens, right? A 7-0 game, a fight in the tunnel. They really ramp up when these teams meet in the playoffs, then there's a real rivalry, right? But I don't want to hear any more about the Northwest, right? But Portland, Seattle, give me a break. This is New Jersey, New York, right? Yeah. Welcome to the real world. So, look, they have great fans out there, but give me a break. I wouldn't trade Red Bulls NYCFC for any other pair in the league.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well put.
Well, we got a question from MJ Lee. She said, in his memoir, Bruce Arena credited you, Shep Messing, with being the first person to teach him how to be a goalkeeper while Arena was in college. MJ wants to know, what was it like to think that Bruce sort of gave you that credit? And what was his potential back then as an athlete and as a soccer player? And what do you think of him now?
Look, Bruce is a close friend, full disclosure, and I met him in a weird way, and he dedicated a chapter in his book to me, Shep Messing's influence. So I'm trying to think of the bad stories I have to tell. So before I went to Harvard, I was at NYU, and I got kicked out. I happened to accidentally dropped my roommate out of the second floor window. And
it happens. Who among us has not been in that exact situation?
Look, I'm from Newark. A lot of accidents have happened.
So I get kicked out of NYU. My mother is a professor at Nassau Community College. My high school coach is a soccer coach there. I go take some courses there. I can't play. I'm not eligible to play. I'm 19. And the coach comes to me, says, look, I have this unbelievable lacrosse player, Bruce Arena. I want to make him my goalkeeper. So I spent that year, I was already playing for the Olympic team, traveling around the world, and I was coaching Bruce. Bruce was a world-class athlete, All-American lacrosse at Cornell, unbelievable soccer player, got drafted by my team, the New York Cosmos, and I said to Bruce, don't come here because she ain't never going to play behind me. And Bruce went on to have a legendary and iconic coaching career. You know, for me, any sport, John Wooden in basketball, Bill Belichick in football, Bruce Arena is for sure the best American coach ever. And I think he's a legendary coach in any sport. So, but a great athlete to answer the question. Nobody remembers that, but he was could have been an All-American in two sports, lacrosse and soccer.
Okay.
We're here with Shep Messing, famous goalkeeper in the U.S., training regimens such as drinking beer all night the night before a match, finding out that you're in the match 10 minutes before the match, but also a great broadcaster. Now that you're in the broadcast booth, you get to sort of watch as players are developing. And you mentioned players like Caden Clark and Christian Pulisic and I'm drawing a blank on his name. Who was the player that just went to Salzburg?
Brendan Aaronson.
No, not Brendan Aaronson. Leipzig. Tyler Adams. Jeez, I'm sorry. I couldn't think of his name. I'm like, is it Tim Allen? I'm like, I know that's not it. That's a comedian. But when you're watching some of these players develop now, it seems like there's a lot of confidence coming up for the next World Cup. And maybe that's really dumb of us as Americans because we didn't make it to the last one. What do you think is missing from the way players are developing in the U.S.? Do you think anything's missing? Do you think it's fine? What are your thoughts on the way these kids are starting to develop now?
I think it's still youth development in this country is a catastrophic nightmare. It really is. We're going on. Look, the beauty of the sport and the problem, the beauty is there's nothing in the world that transcends politics, race, religion, socioeconomic boundaries than soccer. But instead of embracing it all, we're the most fragmented, screwed up audience, player development country in the world. So is it pay for play? Do you go to an academy? If you live in this country, whether you're an immigrant or born here, to me, your single aspiration should be to go to college, right? So all of these diverging paths, the path of a Tyler Adams or a Pulisic or Brendan Aaronson, they're all different. So how do we navigate it? I think it's hard because we're like 50 different countries, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's got to be affordable and it's got to be inner city, and it's still not. It's still, for the most part, if you have the money, it's a white suburban sport for player development. And we're never going to get to where we should be if that remains. I don't have the answer how to turn it into inner city development, but the kids need fields. They need fields to play. So that, to me, is the ultimate goal, that it's affordable and available to everybody.
Yeah.
The second thing that's wrong, the last thing I can go on is you know, at 6, 7, 8 years old, we're organizing, teaching tactics, trying to win trophies. That's ridiculous. If you go to Bayern Munich or Dortmund or Leipzig, they don't play in a 11v11 game until they're 14. They're playing short-sided, five-a-side technical skill. If you take away the love and joy and creativity of the game, you're never going to get where you want to be. So there's no easy fix. It's a big country, but it's a money grab for the most part. And once you stop grabbing for the money, then hopefully we can develop more better players.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Shep Messing, for spitting straight facts on this show. We appreciate it.
You sure you didn't become a lawyer? Because that was...
You know, it's saying everything that you're saying with the Harvard cap on, it makes it feel a little bit more legitimate,
right?
I'll be
honest. Official, you know? Okay. If I had my DeVry hat on, be impressed.
You know? I'll give you my true Harvard story. So I get to Harvard, right? And I said, I don't know how I got in, right? But I got accepted. And a friend of mine said, I said, what do I do now? How am I going to pass? So he said, find this guy, Pete Varney, and take any class he's taken. Pete Varney is 6'5", All-American in football and baseball at Harvard. So I go up, introduce myself to Pete, and Pete says, come with me, right? So I sign up for the class. True story. I get to class my first day at school there, and I see the whole hockey teams in the class, Pete Varney, bunch of soccer players, and the professor gets up at the microphone and he looks around the room, he sees the hockey team, everybody else. He said, okay, this is Canadian history. I know you guys call it Slapshot 12. And if the ceiling fell down, the average IQ of Harvard would go up by 20 points. I followed Peter around. Anyway,
genius.
True.
It's like, all right, it's gonna be an easy A, I assume.
So I'll see you at the end of the year.
No, listen, I took my roommate, was the dear friend of mine to this day, Charlie Thomas. He was the captain of the Gambian Olympic team in soccer. He was my roommate. And Charlie, you know, back then, Afro-American studies were coming in. So yeah. I went with Charlie, Charlie said, come with me. I'll help you with Afro-American studies. Yeah. I had a great time there.
My wife is Italian. She sat next. We went to college together. She sat next to me in Italian class. I'm like, this is amazing. She ended up cheating off of me. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, turns out Jersey Italian doesn't translate to actual Italian. It's not mozzarella in real Italian.
It's interesting. Especially mentioning about inner city, because speaking, the Rebels just were working with the Black Players for Change organization to build. They just built two pitches on mini pitches
in Newark,
which is awesome to see. So it's great because this is why Alexis and I talk about this all the time. I mean, it's sort of why our show kind of exists to kind of just keep putting that out there in the world that we were inner city kids and we didn't get to, we had to find soccer. It didn't find us. So I'm hoping that the word that you're saying kind of echo across the people in positions of power, to make that change, because it's nice to see that we have legends like you who went to Harvard, you had to go to Harvard. Bruce Arena had to go to Cornell to be where they are now, and that shouldn't have to be the requirement or the prerequisite to have a successful career in soccer.
Again, my urging for all of us in the soccer universe is let's do it together. Let's not be, the bickering and the fragmentation is ridiculous. We get it with the league, right? I played for the Cosmos and everybody is fighting about promotion, relegation, Major League Soccer. Stop it. We're all in this for the same reason. We love the game. It's good for us as adults. It's great for kids, boys and girls. Let's pull together. I don't like what I call performance activists, right?
Yeah.
Talk and media bites and social media. Let's go out and do something. Be proactive and go do something. Don't talk about it.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like we gotta talk the talk, right? We have to walk the walk as well. It's but thank you again for sharing that, because it's awesome to hear that. All right. Another fun show in the books. Thank you so much, Shep Messing, the legendary
Amazing.
Shep Messing, for joining us today. It's been an absolute honor. Shep, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And I'll come back anytime. I do support some causes that I like, and one you guys are aware of. We did a thing for South Bronx United.
That's right.
A tremendous school education, helping kids in life, academics, and soccer. So South Bronx United, I'm a big supporter of America Scores, another national organization that does tremendous work, really using poetry and soccer as a way to engage kids. So I'm a big fan of America's Scores. And I have a podcast. You guys are my heroes, so I started my own podcast. And it's
come on.
It's called Believe.
We were your Bruce Arena.
Hey, Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Believe in Soccer, the Shep Messing Daily Cast. So that's it for me, guys.
All right, check all that Thank stuff you. Out. And we've worked with South Bronx United. We're also we've worked with America Scores as well. We've hosted tournaments, and we're hosting a virtual fundraiser for them in a couple weeks. So we're in the same circles. We're trying to, we're following the lead of Shep Messi. So thank you for laying that path out for us.
Our Viva show shoot.
It's coming soon. Okay, nice duo spread.
This is too much.
Thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Follow us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/soccercooligans. And make sure you follow Fubo Sports on all socials and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for all episodes of the program. All right, everybody, let's end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Shep Norman Messing, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Leonardo Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!